This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It is hockey night in Canada, 8 o'clock, New York Rangers and the Oilers, and Scott Oak will have Ryan Smith on after the game. Scott Oak is the best thing about hockey night in Canada, and I mean that, I'm sincere. A lot of people will say, no, that Scott Oak, top drawer, love watching. When he's on after hours, I watch it no matter what, because, you know, even though Ryan Smith's a great guest, Scott Oak really brings out things that you never hear anywhere else are available when Scott Oak is doing the interview. The forward lines tonight, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with Hall and Eberle, Horkoff between Smith and Jones, Pajarvi and Gagne are the wingers for Bellangi on line three, and then Lander and Eager with Petrell are the fourth line. Wonder about Gagne's minutes. He's a guy who is just coming off of injury, and that third line, Bellangi, is going to be doing a lot of, you know, penalty killing and two-way work, so we'll see how that goes. The pairings are interesting. I like these. Whitney Potter, Smeed Gilbert, and Barker Sutton. I think that that's a good group, so we'll look forward to seeing those on display here tonight. For the Rangers, lots going on. I haven't seen any lines for the Rangers yet. I've been following a few guys on Twitter. Nothing so far. Did mention this earlier. I wanted to pass it along to you as well. There's an all-day public forum at City Hall on Tuesday, and the word is that City Council is going to make a decision after hearing from the public. Anyone can show up on Tuesday. Starts at 9 o'clock all day. You can be a part of the process. You can also go to edmonton.ca, the City of Edmonton website, and there's an online form you can fill out if you want a specific time and kind of to make an appointment with everyone. That's an option for you too. So, as we mentioned in the last segment, this is your opportunity to impact what is decided by City Council in regard to the arena. This is the opportunity that everybody gets to go. So if you think, as Dean Bellangi said, you know, the silent majority will come through, that may not be the case. So make yourself heard, and that goes on Tuesday. Delighted to be joined by Kent Wilson from Flames Nation and other parts. Kent, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing, Alan?
I have one question I've been waiting almost all week to ask you.
Okay.
After the second period of the Flames-Oilers game, be honest, you were a little worried.
I was worried heading into the game, too. So
that's progress for us.
It is progress, for sure. It's the first time, I think, in a couple of years where I've actually been nervous going into a game against the Oilers. So there's something.
I remember years ago, it would have been around 2001 fall, somewhere in there, where the Oilers were the team that had done well against the Flames, and then Mark Savard scored a late goal, and they won 1-0. That was the score for the Flames. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like after that, the Oilers really have not had the Flames number for over a decade now. Calgary's been the team that usually comes out ahead. Is that your recollection as well?
Yeah, I actually found it really turned when Daryl Sutter came into town, and he was pretty public and vocal about the Flames being difficult to play against, but particularly always being difficult to play against when it comes to their rivals. And he identified the Edmonton Oilers as their chief rival, and he said, you know, we should make their lives miserable. And that's one of the things he really accomplished quite well.
Now, Kiprusoff, I was just looking at his stats so far this year. Somebody should tell him how old he is. He's playing pretty well so far this year.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad. He's had a couple of appearances that were just okay, and a couple that have been very good. Now it's early in the season, so you have people like Liberto Luongo looking terrible, and other guys looking. I mean, I think Kari Lettinen's batting 956 or something. So
don't forget Habib Bulin, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Flames haven't been terrible, but they haven't been great. We saw them, and they looked lethargic. That game was not a classic between the Oilers and Flames. What's the biggest culprit? I look at the lineup, and I go, you know, you've got the usual suspects. Aginla is a great player who, you know, had some injury and back concerns during preseason. Maybe that's impacting. But Stempniak's a player. You got that Bork guy who can rip the puck. Mm-hmm. What's the culprit for the Flames so far this year, in your opinion?
I mean, one thing I looked at recently was their shot differential on the special teams, which is sort of an odd thing to look at. But the Flames have one of the worst shot differentials overall in the league. But they're almost even at even strength. But when it comes to the power play, they're giving up a lot of shots. And when it comes to the power on the penalty kill, they're giving up a lot of shots. And on the power play, they're not getting a lot. So The special teams have been pretty abysmal for Calgary. And I mean, watching the games, lethargic is a good way to say it, but their transition has been very sloppy. They're poor at sort of exiting their zone. They're not very good in the neutral zone. They're, you know, chest high passes, dumping it off the glass, and it's difficult to really have a sustained attack when you can't get through the neutral zone efficiently. So
are there any in-house solutions to this, or do they just wait until they've figured it out and the team gels?
I don't think there's no real in-house solutions outside of, you know, moving some bodies and acquiring, you know, better players. But the Flames are, you know, remain a mediocre team in the Western Conference. I think they will be better than this down the road. Just guys got to get their legs under them type of thing. But they're not much better than this, quite frankly. So they are what they are.
With Kent Wilson from Flames Nation and other parts on the internet. Kent, we talked at the top of the discussion here today about the gap closing between Oilers and Flames. There's still a gap, but how is it closing in? Do you think by the end of this season the Oilers will be able to take on Calgary, even up, or is this a matter of experience and it's going to take a while, in your opinion?
The main thing by the end of the year will be what the Flames decide to do. If they're 10th again or in that sort of area, the club may decide to really start rebuilding rather than running in place all the time. So I think that would definitely narrow the gap if by trade deadline Feaster starts selling off assets for futures and it really starts moving the Flames in another direction. I can definitely see that closing the gap. And then, you know, with the Oilers, it'll really depend on how well, you know, their kids start to progress. I've really liked what I've seen from guys like Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall. And, of course, it'll also depend on if the Oilers can ever stay healthy. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. What did you think of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
I've watched a couple games for the Oilers. I think he's dangerous in the offensive zone already at 18, which is definitely saying something. Obviously, he has to get a little stronger and a little lost in the defensive end, but, you know, most players are as teenagers. Yeah. So, I mean, I think Tom Rennie's been using that line correctly, the kid line, when it's been together. He's sort of sheltered them from defensive zone draws, and he hasn't been putting them out against the top line. And that's worked really well. I've watched them. I think the Nashville game is the one I watched a lot, and they seem to run the show when they're in the offensive zone, which is very good news for Edmonton fans.
No, absolutely. And the word today from Coach Rennie is shoot more. That's his only advice. We're a few games into the season now, and I was looking at the Northwest Division. I always like to keep track of the Northwest. Obviously, you know, it's a division that's, you know, starting off a little off kilter with Vancouver, but Colorado's also, you know, a little crazy, you know, based on what we thought. What are the big stories, in your opinion, so far in the Northwest and the topsy-turvy feel of the league? Is this just a matter of teams finding their way, like Calgary, who I expect is going to be a playoff or near playoff team, or is Colorado, as an example, for real?
Yeah, I actually wrote something on Hockey Prospectus this week on how the first 10 games are really deceptive in the NHL, in part because any 10-game segment, almost anything can happen in a league with this sort of parity. You know, bounces happen, weird stuff. But the reason the first 10 games is sort of deceptive and seductive for people is there's no background context to weigh it against. So if you have a certain 10-game segment in, you know, 50 to 60 in the middle of the season, people can say, you know, if one team's really good or really bad, they can compare it to what's already happened. But the beginning 10 games, stuff, weird stuff happens, and people start projecting that out. So
yeah,
there's been some weird stuff. Like the San Jose Sharks have a bad record, but they have a shot differential of plus 23 or something. I mean, they're literally beating the crap out of teams every night, but the puck's not going in for whatever reason, and that's not going to last. I think the Dallas Stars are a mirage as well. And I'm guessing Colorado, who they actually have some nice pieces on that team, and they have a underrated third line with Ryan O'Reilly and Daniel Winnick, who are just knocking it out of the park in terms of possession. But that said, I don't anticipate Colorado to be challenging, you know, for the Northwest Division title or anything going forward.
The Flames play this afternoon, right?
They do, yeah.
Against Nashville. That's a team that we could talk about a little bit, too. I always assume Nashville is going to be, you know, finish in eighth and be an absolute terror for Detroit in the first round, then lose.
Yeah.
They came in here, I've seen them two or three times since the start of the year, and they look like the same team, but maybe not quite as high-end offensively as we've seen. And obviously they don't have a superstar, but is this a team that is plateauing, in your opinion, or do you think that they have another level they can reach?
I think that's fair to say. I was actually on a Nashville podcast the other day. They called me up because of the game today, and they seem to be not too high on their team right now. They've had a really tough start to the season. They're getting outshot a lot. They have the lowest shot four total in the league so far, I think. So, I mean, they lost some significant players in the offseason. They don't have a lot of stuff up front anyway. I mean, Joel Ward, people don't really consider him a big time contributor just because his offensive totals aren't big, but he played with David Legwand on a very, very hard minutes line for Nashville, and that's sort of how they've got by over the years, because they don't have the sort of elite offensive talent to do anything, so they have a couple guys who can really take a lot of defensive zone draws and play against hard minute top offensive lines and sort of shut them down, but they don't seem to have that this year. So that may be one of their problems. And then they're missing Martin Erat and a couple other guys up front. So it's if they don't make the playoffs this year, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Ken, what have you got coming up for us this week on Flames Nation?
Lots of game stuff. I think we're going to start discussing what's happening with Anton Babchuk, who is a guy Feaster re-signed this summer at $2.5 million per year for 2 years with a no-trade clause, and he's been a healthy scratch for pretty much every game except for one or two to start the year. So it's starting to get rumblings of what's going on here. I mean, do the coach and GM talk to each other? It's funny because during the summer I said this is a guy the Flames shouldn't re-sign because he's defensively incapable, and Sutter seems to see that, and Feaster apparently didn't. So it's causing a little bit of stir of controversy in town.
Ken, thanks again so much.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. That's Kent Wilson from Flames Nation and various other parts. He's a brilliant writer and if you're looking for advanced stats and somebody to suss it out for years and years and years, he's been doing some really good work, and we really appreciate his time. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.